Well, grace and peace be with you on this fine day in time. Here we are, and we are entering into the month of December. And for this weekend, we are looking at Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, a very small beginning and opening here with John the Baptist. If you're on this podcast, you're joining in on Thirsty Thursday, a podcast where we hope to stay thirsty for God's word of life, a thirst that can truly quench when we recognize and come to know more fully who God is and how God is at work in this world. And so we're staying thirsty by digging in. And so here's the gospel text for this day. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was the ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." This is the word of the Lord. Well, six verses, we get a little history lesson, who the rulers were of the time, who was ruling in particular regions, and then here pops up John the Baptist, the one crying out in the wilderness. And I can never read these verses without breaking into song, the song Prepare the Way of the Lord. And many musical groups have done that over time, but it's one that just gets stuck in your mind. And in pageants and plays, it's often one that people dance to, process to, and again, imagine their Lord on his way. And so prepare the way of the Lord, as John the Baptist says. He said it much louder than I'm declaring today in this podcast. Well, this biblical story from Luke chapter 3, Luke is introducing Jesus by providing that historical information that would date his arrival. And also, he's illuminating the proclamation and prophecy that happens through John the Baptist. And these verses that we heard in 4 through 6 there, those are direct quotations out of Isaiah, because John, again, bathed in the Hebrew scripture, living in covenant community out by the Dead Sea, would have had these scriptures written on his heart. So he's declaring those scriptures, those words, and pointing to this new thing, this new arrival now, what God is doing today. And he's preparing people always for what God is going to do today. And so these prophecies about the Jews' return to Jerusalem from their captivity would be an inspiration to all of the listeners. They had been driven out, they had been cast out, but now they're able to return to their land, to return to their people. The point being made in make his path straight, and every valley shall be filled, and every mountain shall be made low, is that God is going to make this return possible. God's going to prepare that. There's going to be restoration, and there's going to be a redemption of the people. Of course, if we were doing this as a vlog and I could show you some imagery in a vlog, a video kind of podcast, we'd be able to show the hillsides and the mountains outside of Jerusalem on the way down to Jericho, on the way down to the Dead Sea. And this was a treacherous land. It was difficult to walk over the hillsides and mountains. Very rocky. The terrain was not smooth. Put it this way, you would be getting a good workout moving up and down the hills outside of Jerusalem. And so the imagery of every valley being filled and every mountain being made low, again, you can imagine this super highway, now this access point for God's people to receive this restoration and redemption, that God's making it easier and that it's going to happen in their life. So Luke, I think, is also drawing a parallel here to the arrival of Jesus, the Messiah, who redeems the creation and brings God into this closer relationship with humanity. So the one crying out in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, who's to come next? And the one who's to come next, this Lord, this Savior, this Messiah that people were waiting for, he's the one who's going to bring God into a closer relationship with humanity. Maybe humanity had felt divided or cut off, or that God's promises were not real or going to be realized. And now through this new proclamation, yes, he's close. He's coming. He will be here soon. And this new thing is going to happen. God will no longer be distant, but God will be close. God will be with you. So our redemption and the restoration, this does not happen as you read these words through the things that we are going to do. When John is saying, prepare the way and make his path straight, this is like getting ready for a parade, right? This is like getting the floats ready, getting the palm branches ready, those kinds of things. Very simple kind of preparation. Who's doing the work? Who's doing the work? God is going to do the work. God's going to make the rough places smooth, the mountainous places low. God is going to send this one to us. And so it's God's grace and God's love and God's forgiveness that's going to be embodied in Jesus, where people will learn anew, in a brand new way, who God is and what God is up to in the world. John is calling the Hebrew people out to the Jordan to start over as God's people. He's saying, get out here. Let's get down into the waters. Let's be baptized. Let's repent from things that have gotten in our way. Let's begin again. Let's get ready. You see, through the covenant with Abraham that John knows well, God had promised that Abraham would be the father of what? A great nation. And that his people would have land to live on, and that all the nations of the world would be blessed through them. There's a multiple point promise here that he's going to be a father of a great nation, the people will have a land to live on, and that all the nations of the world will be blessed through them. Well, the first two promises are fulfilled. He's a father of a great nation, all of these descendants, as many as the stars in the heavens, we read about that, and they've got this land under which they're living. The promised land has now been tasted and seen, but are all people being blessed through them? I think that's the most difficult one to realize or to imagine or to see. Because under persecution and the reign of various empires and rulers, people would have been cut off one from the next. There's still this jockeying and this competition one to the next. So this third part of the promise, that they would be a blessing to the world. So John's calling them back to the Jordan, the body of water through which they passed into the promised land, to repent, to have new minds, a metanoia, a brand new mind, so that they may live into this third leg of the promise. This promise is going to be fulfilled through Jesus, Son of David. And through him, all the world will be brought into this relationship with God, this relationship with each other, where true blessing, true life, abundant life, is to be experienced. As you repent and you go through those waters, you come out of those waters, what? What we say through our faith, named and claimed as God's people. And now newly claimed and named as God's people, washed clean, made new, we go out to bless, to live that identity, and to grow into who God has created us to be. And so just in six verses, we're getting an image of what John is going to point to and the unfolding that's going to come, the prophetic language that we hear about in Isaiah is being lifted up off the page again and pointed to. So people's ears would have perked up. They're paying attention. And now people are. They're doing this. They're streaming out to John the Baptist to be baptized again. Now, one of the problems that we kind of face is when we think about faith in Christ, one of the teachings over the eons has been that our relationship with Christ is very individualized. That me and Jesus have a relationship. And that by me and Jesus having a relationship, I'm needing to show Jesus that I'm worthy of that relationship. I need to do certain things to be in that relationship. And it's even then been taught that in order to have that relationship, you're going to gain entrance into heaven. There's something to come. And if you don't have that relationship, you won't have heaven and you won't have any of the other, quote, things that Jesus gives. And I would caution here that in baptism and in life, the relationship again with God, and I know I say this all the time, but God's the primary actor. God is the one doing the lion's share of the work. We are blessed in our lives, not for individual comfort or success, but what? That we might be a blessing to the world. That we might stream out into the world, providing real life and real hope and real love, tangible in the lives of all people. So the relationship isn't just so I receive blessing, but that we would truly, in that Hebrew story of that first nation and Abraham being a blessing to all. Now we got this word also in here, the word repentance. He's proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Repentance is that Greek word metanoia, which literally means to have a new or changed mind. And you could pause with that here and ask those good questions of where and how in your life have you had a new and changed mind, where God has spoken a big aha maybe into you, where God has opened you up to a new way of seeing God and engaging with God. Metanoia, a new or changed mind. I think we're continually challenged, particularly in a 21st century culture where we are swamped with overwhelming amounts of information. The amount of information that we take into our minds and hearts and souls in a day through media and interaction, everything else today is exponentialized, more so than at any point in human history, and increasing. It's increasing. But we are called to have those minds that we have, maybe even self-focused minds, overwhelmed minds, to have that put to death so that we can think with God's mind, so that we can be passionate, not just for ourselves, but for all people. That is a big change. And in a consumer world that says it's about me, 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 and more, 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 more for me, 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 well, then how can I even begin to think about the other? I think John, and speaking about repentance and being baptized and turning away from things to turn towards something. We turn away in order to turn toward. You see, there's a movement or a direction in which we step. And in God's perspective here through this text, this baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sin, God would say everything that separates us from God has already been destroyed. That's what we hear in baptism. All the things that have gotten in our way between God and us, those things are destroyed. And God says, you're my kid and I love you and I'm proud of you and I'm always going to be with you. And so we're called then to live as though that restoration and redemption is the reality. That's being birthed every single moment of every single day in all of humanity and all of creation. Isn't that exciting to consider that God is birthing something new, continually birthing something new, 24/7, 365, into creation, into us for the sake of the world? Because for God, the things that separate are done. God is seeking to stitch back together and draw back together. And so John is going to get after it. We're going to hear that in the weeks ahead. John just flat out gets after the community and calls them some names as well. That usually doesn't work to begin with name calling. John tried it. I'd encourage us to start in a different place. But for God, God starts in a totally different place. The sending of Jesus into the world. The sending of Jesus in the way that Jesus comes as an infant, vulnerable Christ child, born to Mary, into this world for the sake of all, is that God continues to reach. God continues to draw close. God continues to just pour out life. God is not content being distant or far, or humanity wondering where is God in the midst of this chaos. God wants you to know that God is here, that God is now, and as we proclaim, that God will come again, that Jesus will return again. And so on a day like today, I think we need to be thankful for the prophets like John and those who go before declaring these works of God. I also think we need to look behind the screen and to look deeper into what's really being communicated. And remember the community that John is speaking to, the Abrahamic community who said, you're going to be a father of the great nation. You're going to have a land to live on. And you are blessed to be a blessing. You are called to bless all people, all nations. Blessings never stop. They continue to flow in and through you. So how does Jesus do that in your life? Where do you see God doing that in you? And a few things might be to pause this week and say, what do you need to repent from? Where's your mind stuck? Or a stumbling block is so big you just can't climb over it. What do you need to repent from? And what roadblocks do you need to face in taking on the mind of God so that you can see all people and all things as part of you? That the entire cosmos is held together. That these aren't various pieces and parts, but one grand big puzzle all put together. And as you consider those things, allowing John to speak deep to your soul, but also God to speak ever deeper, to draw you out and to live as you're called to live. So, church, this is the beginning of Advent. Here we are, spreading the word about Jesus, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in our life and in the world in which we live. So stay thirsty, my friends, and keep diving deep. We'll see you here next time.